I'm Danny Brown, and you're listening to Life Through a Dram.
Welcome to Life Through a Dram, where Danny Brown shares his take on life, being a better person, and appreciating the here and now, all accompanied by a dram and a fine single malt whiskey. And now, here's your host, Danny Brown.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Life Through a Dram. This week, I'm enjoying the Glenlivet 15-year-old French oak barrels, which is distilled after the main distillery in their oak, the normal barrels. It's also distilled in Limousin French oak. So that gives you a really nice fruity, almondy taste with a bit of sweet spice coming through. It's a very rich Speyside whiskey, very easy on the palate, not a hint of smoke in there whatsoever. So that's my treat this week, so Slangeval. Today I want to talk about kids and the pressures that we as parents or as adults, you know, it can come from an educational stroke teacher point of view, but about the pressures we put on them. Now, we don't intend to put pressures on kids, or at least not deliberately, and I hope we don't anyway. I know that can be easier said than done as a parent myself to two young kids who are 7 and 9 years old. You want the best for them, but you also want them to be happy. So it's a very fine line sometimes at, you know, wanting the best but not forcing them to do something to achieve what you feel is the best. An example would be my son loves soccer and he's an awesome midfielder stroke forward player. He's got a really strong shot. He's a great attacking player. So I always like to see him, you know, up front. In his last couple of games, he's chosen to play defence and he's done really well in defence actually. He's, you know, he stands up, he watches the ball, he doesn't let players pass him or not easily. And when his team's been beat, whether this is, you know, coincidence or not, I like to think it's because Ewan's not on the field, you know. But anyway, when the goals have gone in, Ewan has only been on the field one time as a defender. The other times he was off the field when the other team scored. So I like to think he's a good addition to the team as defence as well. Anywho, long story short, as I ramble on, I just mentioned to him as we were coming home, hey, what about next week you play up in attack again? You're really good in attack. And I never meant that to come across as you're not as good in defence. I just said, I said it because I like watching him, the joy of him when he scores. And he looked a little bit downtrodden. He says, but I want to play in defence. I like defence. I just want to try that out for a few weeks. And I was a little disappointed, I will admit, but I stayed quiet because I realized I was trying to force on him something that he didn't want to do at that time. And that's kind of where the pressure comes in. You know, like I say, we don't mean to, but we're adding pressure to our kids' lives unnecessarily. You know, my son's 9. He shouldn't have to worry about, well, does my dad want to see me playing offense or defense or whatever, as a forward, as a goalkeeper, as a midfielder? It's a game of football or soccer for North Americans. You know, enjoy it. Enjoy the experience, win or lose, make new friends and learn new skills and learn new, you know, human behaviors, if you like. So like I said, we don't mean to as parents. We just want them to be happy. And I was reminded of this as I read an article earlier this week, actually, on CBC, which is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. It's their website, and it's in their parenting section. And it was by a lady called Natalie Romero. And it's titled, I Freaked Out at a Failed Math Test, but it led to my biggest parenting revelation yet. And basically what had happened is she's got a son. Well, she's got a son and daughter, pretty much the same as me, actually. I think the same ages. Her son's, I believe, 9 year old. And basically, he came home and he was looking, you know, his mum in the eye and kind of scared to hand over his report card or math test card that he had just taken. And basically, he'd failed the math test twice now. And his mum, you know, Natalie, just lost it in her own words. She started, you know, her fiery temper came out. She was demanding, you know, what is this? You're not getting to play with your soccer team. You're grounded. I'm going to take your PlayStation away, etc. And then she screamed at him because he wasn't answering. As kids are wont to do, they'll stand there and just look at you as you, for no realistic reason at all, are losing the plot. So he just stood there. And so she was screaming, these grades will never get you into university. Now, at this point, her husband stepped in and took the papers away from Natalie and just, you know, whispered to her that she needed to take a moment. And that's when she sort of realized, as I did with Ewan, you know, when I was speaking to him about the being in offense or being in defense, etc. That's when she realized that he's nine. You know, he's 9 years old. Why was she worrying about what university he was going to get into? And this is so true. You know, she was yelling at him, but that's not going to make him get better grades. You know, losing her temper wasn't going to make him understand, you know, fourth grade math any better. And nor would it help him rushing through his homework, which he tends to do because he wants to do other things. He's 9 years old. And it's the same with my son. We give both my kids an hour when they come home from school to just to like unwind so they can do whatever they want. They can play video games, read books, go outside, play on the bikes, play soccer or whatever they want to do. So we give them that hour, we'll have dinner, and then they'll do their homework. But when they're doing their homework, they know that they've got other things that they can be doing afterwards. So you have to temper their enthusiasm stroke eagerness to get finished so they can do the other things. But to Natalie's point, she mentions it was more about how she could help him succeed and about, you know, understanding what success meant for a child versus what we as parents look at what success means and what success is defined as. And at 9 year old, you know, you shouldn't be worrying about university. You shouldn't be worrying about what grades you get. You shouldn't be worrying about how so-called smart you are, or, you know, how great you are at certain topics, etc. You should be growing up and learning new experiences and enjoying the world around you as you explore it and getting to know things and seeing what the world's all about. And Natalie makes a really good point here. I'm going to quote this. She's got a lot of great points in this piece, and I'll make sure to link to it in the show notes. So make sure to, you know, check out the show notes while you're listening to the show, and I'll leave the link in there. But this is a section from it. I'm forgetting they are just children. At 9 years old, my son shouldn't be worried about getting into university. I just gave him that worry. We're living in a world where we expect our children to excel at everything they do. We're leading ourselves to believe that excelling at everything will lead to happiness. That is an enormous amount of pressure to put on a little one, and it simply isn't true. And this is true. You know, it's, for example, I went to university and I enjoyed it, but I also felt under so much pressure while I was there because I didn't want to let anybody down. You know, they'd invested time and money, etc., to get me to university. And I felt that if I take 3 or 4 years at a course that I enjoy, but get nothing from it at the end of the day, that's a waste. I've wasted their investment and I've wasted their belief in me, if you like. And I didn't want to be a failure. And that's a huge amount of pressure for an 18, 19, 20-year-old to take. It's a huge amount of pressure for anyone to take. You know, if we feel that we're letting people down, that's putting pressure on ourselves to do something better. But if we're unable to do something better, that pressure can become soul-crushing and lead to inner turmoil and possibly mental health issues like depression, anxiety, self-esteem issues, etc. So we have to, you know, counter that. And at the end of the day, good grades never made anyone a better person. Sure, you know, you can be smarter, you know more about a specific topic, whether it's like English, I don't know, technology, science, whatever you major in or you want to major in at university, it's going to make you smarter. But does it make you a better person? And for me, a better person is a higher goal to aim for than getting straight A grades on your exams or being in the top 5% of your university or getting a six-figure job because you have an MBA. Doesn't make you a better person. And the world needs more better people than it does smarter people. Now, agreed, we can have both smarter and better people or good people. And there's plenty of examples like that. But I found that a lot of the times, not all the times, but a lot of the times in my own personal experience anyway, when I've come across really smart people, they kind of hold themselves above you. And unless you can keep up with them conversation-wise or you know, topic-wise or whatever, they don't look at you quite the same way as they would had you been able to keep up with them. And to me, that shows that, great, you're smart, but you have a long way to go to be a people person, and you have a long way to go to be a good person. And you're not necessarily someone I, A, want to hang around with, and B, I don't introduce you to friends of mine because you'll have that same attitude. So my grandfather was a great example. I love the man dearly. I miss him, you know, and his little nuggets of wisdom. This was the guy that told me, always stand up before you flush, which I get it. It makes me laugh every time. But at the time, I was thinking, okay, well, that's normal. You would do that. But he's just saying, you know, do the obvious things first. Make sure you've got the little things sorted before you worry about the big things. But anywho, my grandfather, when I graduated university, we had a sort of, you know, graduation party. Had a bunch of family there, some friends, etc. And it was the usual graduation type party. Great fun. So my grandfather asked me, so what did you do? You know, what did you graduate and what does that mean? And I explained it to him, and he says, And you could see his brain was ticking away there. And he says, but what exactly will that do for you? And I said, well, hopefully it'll do X, Y, Z. He says, so he thought about it for a little bit and went, university. It just qualifies you to talk about bugger all, you know. And basically, I didn't get that at the time. I laughed later on in years. And in a way, he was correct. Because, yes, we get smarter through school, through education, through, you know, higher education, university, etc. But what does that qualify us to do? You know, it qualifies us to, you know, work out quantum physics for sure. It qualifies us to build rockets. It qualifies us to, you know, be a psychologist. And these are all awesome things. But does it actually qualify us to talk about life necessarily, or what it takes to be a good person, or what it takes to lift others up around us? No, that comes from human experiences and people experiences and life experiences. So when I read Natalie's, you know, piece on CBC, it really reminded me of what my grandfather had said, and about conversations I've had in the past about, you know, the difference between being a smart person versus a good person. And one of my good friends, Sam, always says that, you know, we shouldn't worry about our grades. We should worry about our kids sitting down and saying hello to the lonely kid in the cafeteria. And that is so true. If we can raise people that talk to the lonely kids in the cafeteria, say hello, look out for their fellow humans, look out to lift them up, that's so much better to me than 100 of the smartest grades. I'll give you an example. I saw a news story while I was on Facebook earlier this morning, actually, about one of the gay pride parades. I think it was in the US. I didn't see the location, but I believe it was in the US. And there was mums and dads there that were wearing free dad hugs and free mom hugs t-shirts, because a lot of kids that come out as gay, their family disowns them. And personally, I can't, and I spoke about this on my Be The Connected podcast last week, and I'll drop the link in the show notes for that. But I can't fathom the idea of family giving up on kids because of their, you know, chosen sexuality or their sexuality. So at this Pride Parade, there was people with free dad hugs and free mom hugs. And kids, you know, were coming up, 18, 19-year-old kids, or a little bit older, were coming up to get the hugs because their parents had disavowed them because they were gay. And it was really touching seeing the photographs and the pictures of these strangers that were wearing these free dad hugs and free mom hug t-shirts, just enveloping these, you know, strangers that were taking part in the Pride Parade and giving them the hug that their moms or their dads would not give them because they were gay. And to me, this is the kind of pressure that we could be putting on our children. Can you imagine being 18, 19, 20, 25, 30, whatever age, and not being able to go to your parents because A, they either disavow of your lifestyle, or B, they're disappointed in you, or or C, you didn't live up to their expectations because of the pressures and the unrealistic targets they wanted to put on you for you to please your parents. I can't get my head around that. You know, so think about it, you know, do we really want to force our kids away because of the things we want for them? And that's where we have to temper where we put pressure on our kids and stop. Take 2-3 minutes before we say something. I know that's not easy, but before we, if we know our kids are coming home with report cards, or we know our kids are coming home from a track meet, or we know our kids are coming home from a soccer meet, or anything where they've had to perform, if you like, and, you know, take part in something where they could come top, they could come last, they could come somewhere in between. Think about what you're going to say to the kid, and think about what you're going to say to make them feel better and to make them know that it doesn't matter if they, and if they came first, congratulate them, that's awesome. But make sure they realize that everybody that took part is just as important as the person that crossed the finishing line first. If we can continue to do that and let children be children and support them no matter what, you know, slowly but surely, we can start changing the world around us. We can make the world a better, more loving and welcoming place for kids. And if we can do that, guess what they're going to do? They're going to continue that and continue that with their kids. Their kids will continue that with their kids. And at some stage, maybe, just maybe, we'll have this, you know, the world that we talk about so much that we want to be a part of, but currently is not there for many, many reasons that I'm not going to go into in this episode. You know, I've spoken about it before and I'll speak about it in the future, as well as on my Be The Connected podcast. But let's aim towards that, guys, and let's aim towards that with each other as well. You know, let's not put pressure on our workmates, our peers, our colleagues, our spouses, our partners, our friends. Think about why you want them to do something. And is it because you want to make them better, or is it because you want to make yourself feel better because of what they've achieved? If it's the latter, then let's rethink that and reverse engineer that thinking to make sure it's about the person in front of us as opposed to the person looking back at us in the mirror. I hope that makes sense, guys. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the show, please, you know, feel free to leave a review on iTunes. That's always worth an extra slangevar for me and helps the podcast get noticed by others. By all means, recommend it to your friends. I'm always happy to have new listeners and new people, you know, chatting about the podcast. If you wish to email me to talk about anything I've spoken about today, you can reach me at danny@dannybrown.me. And again, I'll drop the emails and all the links into the show notes, so make sure you check these out. I hope you have an awesome weekend. Please don't pressure, you know, or think about the pressure that you may be about to, you know, project onto someone. And just think of little different ways to manage that and how to, you know, project hopes that you have onto goals and wishes that the other person has. Until next week, guys, have a great weekend. Take care and be kind to each other. Slangevar.
This has been Life Through a Dram. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.